OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Ki Teitze, the mitzvah king of all parshiot, with 74 out of the 613 mitzvot. We have a lot to talk about, and a lot will be taken up with a shiur that I just gave the folders earlier today. Recording and first broadcast is on Yom Chamishi, Thursday of Shabbat Parshat Ki Teitze, the 11th of Elul, 5768, and the 11th of September, 2008. A sad day, remembering what happened 7 years ago with the terrorist attack on the Twin Towers, and on the United States, and on all of normal mankind, we'll call it, by unfortunately crazy and very evil people. Keeping the events of 9/11 and its ramifications in mind, put in some extra kavana, extra intention and feeling into Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihiena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yah Adonai miya amod ki imcha hasalicha lama'an tivare. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro ho'cholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim l'boker shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut, v'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achinu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha-omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha-makom yirachem aleihem, v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha u'meafela l'ora, u'mishibud l'geula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Even though that Achinu prayer that we say every week specifically is speaking about Kol Beit Yisrael, all the house of Israel, we really should have a sense that prayers are often not just for the Jewish people, even if it's Jewish people praying, but it's for all good people of mankind, wherever they are and whatever religion they practice. There is evil in this world, which is given sometimes permission by God, so to speak, to do its thing, and the rest of the world, the non-evil part of the world, and you'll have to make your own definitions for this, have to do what they have to do in order to protect ourselves from this evil, to remember this evil, and to do what we can to eradicate it. Uviarta hara mikirbecha, an expression that appears a number of times in Torah and in this week's reading as well. Uviarta hara mikirbecha, to burn out and eradicate the evil from among you, from within you. Broaden the scope of that, and it means within not just the Jewish people in the Jewish world, but within mankind, peoplekind, and the world at large. There is evil among us, whatever that definition is, and we have to be very vigilant to not only protect ourselves from it, but to eradicate it to the best of our ability with God's help. On that note, I would like to play one of my favorite songs, especially this time of year. regardless of whether today is September 11th or not, it would have been on today's show, if not this week, next week's show. It's a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur favorite of mine, and I could listen to it any time of year, but specifically in light of what I have just said about September 11th, the song is based on a prayer called Chamol al Ma'asecha. God, have mercy on your creations. Does not say in that particular context on your Jewish people. It's Chamol al Ma'asecha, have mercy on your creations, which is all of us. And therefore, I'd like you to listen to one version, one melody of Chamol al Ma'asecha from the davening of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
No way.
Let me add from the words of the song itself. I introduced it as Chamol al Ma'asecha, have mercy on your creations. But the next phrase is very significant too. V'tismach b'ma'asecha, and be happy with your creations. That's the point also. You turn to a parent and you say, Dad, Mom, have pity on me, love me, and be happy with me. That's what we say to God. And it should be for all his creations, except the evil ones, which we have to uproot from amongst us. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I had just given a shiur to folders. It's been a while since I did that. I would like to share it with you. It's on an important concept, I believe, in the mitzvot of the Torah. And then we'll have a little time to talk about another aspect of these mitzvot. Parshat Ki Teitzei, as you know, I've written it and said it many times, is the champion mitzvah parsha, 74 mitzvot. I want to focus in on two of them, which come in successive psukim, one after the other, within the same parsha. I've spoken about these before, but I want to take another look at it. Now, I want to emphasize what this means. You know that the only natural divisions in the Torah are parshiot, not sedras of the week, not even psukim. You look at a Torah, Sefer Torah, there are no nekudot, there's no end of a pasuk, certainly no pasuk number and perek number. It's a run-on from the beginning of Bereshit till the end of the Torah, with the exception of the break between the books, Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, by Midbar Devarim, and the break between Parshiot, of which there are over 600 in the Torah. A Sedra is made up of sometimes only one Parsha, very big one, sometimes many Parshiot. The closest we could get in English to Parsha would be paragraph, or maybe chapter, not to confuse with Perek. And parshiot come in two forms, parsha petucha, an open parsha, which usually begins a new subject, a parsha stuma, which continues from the previous parsha a little bit. It's on its own, but not quite. I compare this with novels, the way they're published today. You have chapter 6. In the middle of the chapter is a blank line where it continues, not quite enough to call it the next chapter, but the scene changed or something happened, and that's the way the writer or the publisher indicate that there's a change in venue, a change in something, but not quite a totally new topic to make it a new chapter. If you follow what I'm saying, that's the way parshiot work. Sometimes it's obvious and sometimes less so, but we have a tradition of which are parshiot petuchot and which are parshiot stumot. With that background, know the following. Ki Teitzei not only has the most mitzvot of the Torah, has the most parshiot. It is made up of 44, and nothing comes near it, 44 individual parshiot. Usually, a parsha will be its own topic. And when you have two different things within the same parsha, to me, it calls attention to itself and asks for some comment, even if I can't figure out exactly what's happening. To give you an example of a regular parsha, here's the whole parsha. Let's start from the beginning. Ki teitzei la milchama alo yevecha, when you go out to war and you see a beautiful woman among the captives, the rules for taking her and what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. And this goes on for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, five psukim. Topic is finished. Parsha is finished. New parsha. If a man has more than one wife and he likes one more than he likes the other, and there's a bechor from each of them, which one counts as his bechor? Couple of psukim. End of topic. New parsha. The new parsha is a ben sorer moreh, a rebellious child. 1, 2, 3, 4 psukim. End of topic. New parsha. That's the style. And that's normal, and that's what's to be expected. And then we come across the following parsha. It has only two psukim. One of them is, Lo tacharosh bishor uvachamor yachdav. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Period. Next sentence, same parsha. Lo tilbash sha'atnez. You shall not wear sha'atnez, which is what? Semer ufishtim yachdav. Wool and linen together. Now, the fact is, there is a common denominator between these two mitzvot. And that is combining things that you're not supposed to combine. In the first case, it's taking your ox and your donkey, who which are maybe your only animals, and harnessing them together in order to pull your plow. You've got a field that's got hard ground and it's a little tough to plow, and you're looking for extra, I would say, horsepower, but it's not. You don't have one. So you're looking for combining your two work animals. Torah comes and says you're not allowed to do that. You cannot combine an ox and a donkey in the same harness. Then the Torah says, almost as if it says, which it doesn't, speaking of combining, wool and linen can't be combined in a garment. But that's a push. In other words, finding the common denominator to these two at least gives you some kind of feeling what they're doing together in the same parsha. But again, I say, with 44 parshiot, the Torah didn't have to be stingy by stuffing these two mitzvot into the same parsha. There are other parshiot with a single mitzvah. For example, with a single pasuk. The next one, Gedilim ta'aselach, you make fringes for you, al arba kanfot kisutcha asher techaseba, on the four corners of the garment which you cover yourself with, meaning tzitzis. Now, the fact is that tzitzis and shatnez have even a closer connection than not plowing with an ox and a donkey and not wearing shatnez. But they're in separate parshiot and are only combined by smichut. Smichut means one after the other, or that favorite English word of mine, juxtaposition. I always think of Scrabble, even though it's too big of a word to use in Scrabble, but it's got the J and it's got the X, and jinx would be a better word to use if you have those two letters, but juxtaposition is the other word that has them. And let me digress. By virtue of the fact that the mitzvah of tzitzis is right next to the prohibition of shatnez, we learn a very unusual thing, that even though you're not allowed to wear wool and linen together, tzitzis is an exception. You can technically have a linen garment to which you attach wool tzitzis. That's called asei doche lo ta'asei. A positive mitzvah pushes aside a prohibition. Pardon? Which, shatnez? Yes, shatnez applies to men and women, tzitzis applies to men. But that's not the issue at hand, but yes, shatnez is a mitzvah for women as well. Any prohibition in the Torah, with very rare exception, a prohibition applies to men and to women. The only example of a prohibition that doesn't apply to women, a prohibition, there are mitzvot asei that women are exempt, but a lo ta'asei, a prohibition, the famous example of one that women are not obligated is removing the hair of the face with a razor. You can't shave, a guy can't shave with a razor. That's an Isur Gomor in the Torah. A woman is allowed. And it's the exception to the rule that prohibitions apply to men and to women. Now, obviously you'll say, well, women don't usually have hair on their face. Yes, but some do. And the point is, it applies also to the shaving of the head.
A man is not allowed to shave his head completely. At the peyote, at the temple area, has to be left unshaved, at least down to the skin. You can cut it with a scissors, almost as close as you want, but you can't shave it with a razor. A woman can. So if a woman either wants to shave her head completely or wants to shave the hair away from the temples with a razor, she's allowed. So those are the mitzvot that don't apply to women among the prohibitions, the lo ta'aseh. But as far as this is concerned, let me go back. The smichut, the fact that the prohibition of shatnez is immediately followed by the mitzvah of tzitzis, which, by the way, is not counted here. We already had the mitzvah of tzitzis in the end of Parsha Shlach, which we say in the third Parsha of Shema every day. There you have the mitzvah of tzitzis. All of a sudden, almost out of the blue, nothing is out of the blue here, but almost seemingly out of the blue, gedilim taselach al arba kanfot kisutcha asher techaseba, put on tzitzis on your garment, which you already were told. What's it doing here? Perhaps to make the smichut to the prohibition of shatnez. Now, the rule of asei doche lo ta'asei, that a positive commandment pushes aside a negative, should not be misused. We don't make those up. They apply in specific examples. But in this case, there's an unusual catch-22 to it. Rambam says, even though it is possible to claim that the mitzvah asei of tzitzis would push aside the prohibition of shatnez, you're still not allowed to do it by rabbinic decree. Why not? Two reasons are given. One of them is efshar l'kayem shnehem. It is possible to do both, to keep the prohibition as well as do the mitzvah, to avoid the prohibition as well as doing the mitzvah. How do you do that? You, instead of putting wool tzitzis on a linen garment, put linen tzitzis on a linen garment. That's allowed. The rule of tzitzis, by the way, is they have to be either wool or linen, or if it's another material, the material of the garment. So if you have a cotton garment, you could put on cotton tzitzis. I've never seen them. Nobody makes them as far as I know, but you're allowed. You could put linen tzitzis on a cotton garment. You could put wool tzitzis, which is the common one, on a cotton garment. And you could put cotton, but you can't put cotton on linen or wool. You can't put cotton on silk. You could put silk on silk.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
I'm Rod Sterling. You're listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
Welcome back. Let's continue the shiur to the folders on this fine-tuning of our understanding of the way certain mitzvot are.
Whatever the garment is, you could put tzitzis from that material, or wool, or linen. So, under the concept of efshar l'kayem shnehem, it's possible to avoid the iser of shatnez and still fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, because you could put linen tzitzis onto a linen garment, go for it. And therefore you don't have to violate shatnez. Says the Rambam, therefore you shouldn't. However, there's a catch. Another catch. The tzitzis that I've been talking about till now are the whites. The white strings. The ones that most people have today only. There are people today who, in addition to the white, wear chelet, the special blue thread, which for over 1,000 years was totally lost and has been restored in our time, according to many serious researchers and scholars. Some people still won't do it. But the techelet string has to be wool. Can't be linen, can't be whatever material the garment is. Therefore, if you have full tzitzis, which means the whites as well as the petil techelet, then on a linen garment, you have no choice, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah properly, and you have techelet, to use a wool thread. Are you allowed to do that? Well, under the rule of asei dochel lo ta'asei, that a positive command pushes aside the negative, the prohibition, you would be allowed to do it. And Rambam's first objection of Efshar Lekayim Shnehem doesn't apply, because you cannot use anything other than wool for the Tchelet string. However, the Rambam has another reason. The other reason is, maybe you will be wearing this garment during the daytime, and you will not remember to remove it before dark, and you will fall asleep wearing this garment. So what's wrong with that? There's a question that's debated among authorities as to whether the mitzvah of tzitzit applies at nighttime as well as daytime. There is one school of thought that it does not apply at night. If it doesn't apply at night, you don't have a positive command to push aside the negative of wearing shatnez, which means you're violating shatnez. Similar example is to a kohen, a regular kohen, not the kohen gadol. His belt was made of woven together wool and linen and gold, which is shatnez. And not only is he allowed to wear it, he's required to wear it, because he's not allowed to do any avoda in the Beit HaMikdash without it. What happens when he takes his lunch break? He has to remove his belt, because he doesn't have permission to wear it anymore. And it's not an obligation. When he's doing avoda in the Beit HaMikdash, he's obligated to wear the four garments only. No socks to keep his feet warm, and no kippah under his turban, just the four garments. As soon as he takes a break, the linen robe and the linen knickers and the linen turban can stay. No problem with that during his break. But the belt, the avnet, is shatnez. He has to remove it. So the Rambam writes, lest a person fall asleep and it be nighttime, wearing a garment that's linen with wool tzitzis or wool tchelet, he's not allowed to do it. So what's left? You can't, by default, what's left is you can't wear a four-cornered linen garment if you're going to have full tzitzis. And that means that there is a limit to the wardrobe. Sorry, you'll have to wear your wool poncho or your cotton poncho or your leather poncho or whatever, but not the linen one, unless it doesn't have four corners. And the way you get around it is by rounding the corners. You can fold over the corner and sew it closed to give a roundish thing, and then that's no longer a four-cornered garment. And this was a practical situation with two garments. Number one, with ponchos. That used to be more popular. Maybe they're coming back, I don't know. And the other garment, if you remember, was the fake turtleneck. The dickie, they called it, or something like that, was a turtleneck with just a little piece in front and a little piece in back that you wore under your shirt to look cool in those days, you know. And that was a problem if it was squared off. So people used to round it off. Because there's a question whether it's large enough to require tzitzis or not. Let's get back. So the Rambam just knocks out the practical side of, yes, it's true that the positive command of tzitzis would push aside shatnez, but in practicality it can't be done because of at least those two problems that he raised. But still, theoretically, it's there. And you should know that the garments of the Kohen Gadol, many of them were shatnez, and he, by the way, was allowed to maintain wearing them during his breaks because he was a full-time position. He wasn't just when he's doing avoda, he was the Kohen Gadol all the time. So he was allowed. But now let's get back to my original point. Within the same paragraph, within the same parsha, are two mitzvot which I suggested have a common denominator, but that's not enough, because the commonality of a lot of the mitzvot pairs or close to each other's here doesn't put them in the same parsha. It puts them next to each other or gives them each a separate parsha. Here, plowing and with a donkey and an ox harnessed together and wearing of shatnez are both prohibitions among the 365 prohibitions of the Torah and are both within the same parsha. More than that, the wording of the two mitzvot is amazingly similar. Watch. Lo, lo, thou shalt not. Tacharosh, plow, tilbash, where? Two different verbs, but they're both second person future. You shall not wear, or you shall not plow. Shatnez is the one word that's not the same in the two psukim. But then it continues, Bishor uvachamor, with an ox and a donkey. Semer ufishtim, wool and linen, very parallel. And the last word, Yachdav, together. Yachdav, together. The structure of the psukim, when you line them up together, are very, very similar. So why am I bringing all of this up? Because they are amazingly opposed to each other in their applicability. For example, I have a horse and an ox. I don't have a donkey. Or my donkey wouldn't tolerate my putting a harness on him. I want to harness my ox and my horse to pull my plow. May I do that? No. Is that a prohibition by rabbinic legislation as extended from the Torah's prohibition of ox and donkey? No. It is part of the Torah's prohibition of ox and donkey. We are taught in the oral Torah, which is Torah law, God's law, that ox, donkey, and plowing are examples. They are not meant exclusively. I've used the illustration before. Picture the old Wild West pioneers coming east towards the west in their covered wagons. And all of their possessions and all of the children are in the covered wagons on top of each other. And their cow, obviously named Bessie, is tied to the back of the wagon, and the horse is harnessed to the front, and they're driving through, or whatever you call it, riding through the countryside on their way to their new farmland. Torah prohibition. Torah prohibition to tie a cow to the back of the same wagon that a horse is harnessed to in the front. Now, I could even show you where it's logical, but it doesn't have to be logical. It's part of the Isur. The logic is, based on the same reason that Chazal gave for the prohibition of plowing together, when you have two non-compatible animals, they pull at each other and they cause one or the other or both pain. Tsar Bali Chayim. This is the rabbinic explanation of this prohibition. Picture this horse enthusiastically carrying along, and the wagon is being pulled behind it, and the driver is even encouraging the horse by flipping the reins and maybe a little whip, and that's what it's doing. Meanwhile, the cow that's harnessed, that's tied to the back, looks down and sees a juicy, tender clump of grass, and it's got the munchies. So it stops and bends down to eat the grass, and it's pulled along by the wagon. You can see that there would be Tsar Bale Chaim there. Now, even if there wouldn't be, a Shiloh would have to be asked, can I tie the cow to the wagon that a horse is pulling? The answer is no. Horse, donkey, giraffe, and elephant, like I've said in the past with, Dr. Seuss and his story, they're all usur to harness together. They are not compatible. And they are part of the prohibition of Lo Tacharosh B'Shor V'Chamor Yachdav. Comes the next mitzvah about not wearing shatnez. And now I am enthused by the fact that plowing ox and donkey were not specific. And I want to suggest the same thing goes for shatnez. If I get a message out of wool and linen, and let's say I did a little too much reading about the subject, and I find that wool comes from the animal world and linen comes from the plant kingdom, and I say, all right, in the spirit of the mitzvah of shatnez, I won't wear wool and cotton either. Or camel hair fabric or goat hair fabric with something else. The point is, the Torah doesn't forbid it. The rabbis didn't forbid it. Nobody said, not by Torah law and not even by rabbinic inspiration from the Torah law, to apply the prohibition of shatnez to anything else. It's wool and wool only, linen and linen only, wearing and wearing only. If you want to weave, for whatever reason, wool and linen into a tapestry to hang on your wall, you can do it. You shouldn't feel like you're cheating on the law of shatnez at all, because there is no isur in weaving wool and linen. The isur is in wearing wool and linen. And as I've mentioned in the past, the only thing you have to warn the children about is when they play hide and seek, they shouldn't go behind that tapestry and wrap themselves in it to hide, because that would be a prohibition of shatnez. Because it doesn't only apply to what we would call wearing, it applies to the function of wearing, meaning enveloping yourselves in a fabric. So, where are we going with this? The fact that these two prohibitions are thrown together, the fact that they are so different in their scope, the fact that one of them is a logical, common sense, reasonable kind of mitzvah, which we still have to be careful that we do mitzvot primarily because God says so, and we avoid prohibitions because God forbids it, but we try to understand it, and the prohibition of harnessing an ox and a donkey together, Chazal were almost non-hesitating in saying it's to avoid the cruelty to the animals that would result. They didn't hesitate by saying, no, the command is a command and it has no reason in the Torah, which is true. The Torah doesn't give a reason. But Chazal went ahead almost without hesitation. I say that because they always hesitate when they attempt to give a reason for a mitzvah. But this one, they were confident, to the point that rabbinic law extends this to human beings and says that when you are in charge of the shul committee and you have to appoint a subcommittee to take care of the membership campaign, do not put two people that don't get along with each other onto the same committee. That is a rabbinic prohibition that comes from their understanding of the prohibition of harnessing an ox and a donkey together. You don't do that. Certainly not without their permission. Side point, human beings can yield their rights in this case. In other words, two people could say, all right, we'll both be on the committee even though we don't get along with each other. Animals cannot yield their rights. And as funny as that sounds, this has a practical application to another mitzvah. When the Torah says that you're allowed, if you're hired as a worker, let's say, to pick apples, you're allowed to eat apples that you pick, as many as you want, with the Mishnah warning people not to overdo it because then nobody's going to want to hire them. Sure, he's a good worker, but he eats up 3/4 of what he picks. Not good. So, but the Torah gives permission. Can you waive that permission? The answer is yes. In other words, the boss is saying, I need apple pickers. He pulls up with his truck at 6 o'clock in the morning, where the workers know to wait for the day jobs, and he needs 5 guys, and you're one of those guys in there, and he's paying 10 shekel an hour, and you say to him, tell you what, if you pay me 12 shekel an hour, I won't eat a thing. He says, you're on. Because he would rather get those apples to market, especially if he has a quota or something to meet. He doesn't want people eating them. So he's willing to pay the extra 2 shekel an hour, let's say. A person could do that. If a guy comes and is hired with his cart and horse for the job, then he can waive his right to eat from what he picks, but he can't muzzle the animal and can't whisper into the animal's ear, don't worry, when you get back, I'll give you your favorite oats. The animal's right to eat the food that he's working with is not able to be waived, nor is the right of small children. any child above the age of mitzvot can be asked and could waive the right. A child below the age of mitzvot, even if you ask him, and even if he's cool about it and says okay, he can't be forbidden to eat because we don't consider him to have the necessary frame of mind yet to be able to understand what it means when he's hungry but he can't eat because he promised that he wouldn't. So here you've got Lo Tacharosh B'Shor V'Chamor Yachtav, a very reasonable mitzvah. Thrown together with Shatnez, which is one of your classic chukim. It is an enigmatic mitzvah, very uneasy, very hard to understand. Wool only, linen only, and wearing only. It has origins partly in idolatry and paganism, because certain cults used this kind of garment as a sign of dominance over nature. And God says, now this is only an explanation that's given about Shatnez. This is not necessarily the reason. We don't know the reason. But analyzing, or those who have analyzed mitzvot, have said one of the ideas of Shatnez is to show you a limit to the position that man has vis-a-vis nature. You are here in this world, and the Torah, right up front in the first chapter of creation, God says to Adam Harishon, I have given you all of the trees and all of that grows and all that there is for your benefit. But a human being has to take responsibility and know his limits. And some of the limits are imposed by God's laws of not crossbreeding animals and of not cross-grafting certain fruits and not cross-planting certain seeds and not mixing of milk and meat and not harnessing even an ox and a donkey together, which some say is related to that, because it's your use of nature, regardless of its consequences. God says, no, there's a limit. I've told you the story that I saw this movie, took place in Australia. A side point of the movie, it wasn't a main thing, was the competition between shearing stations, or whatever they are called, as to how much wool they could produce in a 24-hour period. And they showed, fast-forward a clip of how they handle these sheep. And in order to maximize production of wool, the sheep are handled very, very roughly and are sheared right down to the skin. And animal behaviorists know that that's not the proper way to treat the animals. And the laws of Shatnez could be a reminder of knowing that there's a difference between the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom in this token way. It's only token. If it were more than token, you couldn't mix any animal fiber with plant fiber. If it were more than token, you couldn't have Shatnez on anything, not just garments. It's token. And that same token message comes across when God says, for the Kohen Gadol, that's what I want him to wear. So it's not a contradiction of how can the Kohen Gadol wear Shatnez if nobody else can. No, that's the only garment that God permitted a Jew to wear that contains Shatnez. All other forms of Shatnez for your own personal use, forbidden. So maybe that's a message of the fact that these two mitzvot are not only samuch, juxtaposed to each other, but they're in the same parsha, and the wording is almost identical. That's what I wanted to share with you.
All of which does not really give us a lot more time to discuss the other mitzvot in Ki Teitzei, or any other issues for that matter. The point that I spent a lot of time trying to get across is that our mitzvot come in different flavors. There are positive mitzvot and there are prohibitions. There are mitzvot that apply today as well as in the past, and others that apply only in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. You see a lot of this in Parshat Ki Teitzei. There are mitzvot between man and God and mitzvot that are interpersonal. There are mitzvot that we enjoy doing and keeping and others which don't make sense to us. There are things that readily lend themselves to understanding and others that seem enigmatic and maybe contradictory. But the bottom line is Judaism is a way of life that is governed by the Torah and by its body of mitzvot and halacha. And Judaism, as I've said many, many times, is supposed to be a package deal. It's not an all or nothing. It very much encourages doing what you can do, but learning and doing even more eventually. But it is a package deal. It is not a pick and choose. Disregard this. If you don't like it, it's a whole system beyond our total comprehension. But that's the beauty of our commitment of Na'aseh V'Nishma. We will do what you ask of us, God, the whole package deal, and we will spend our lives trying to understand it. On that note, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtameah.